In the ongoing effort to avoid commercials on our show, we bring you a commercial from us. My subby and I have created a boutique adult toy store on my website. We have handpicked items that are low cost and show up on your doorstep with all of your other Amazon packages. Make sure, though, that you open them, not your kids. Go to kristenkellogg.com or find the link in the notes of this episode. We will get a percentage of the sales from the items exclusively on my storefront. You get some special items to enhance your FLR, and we all win without a stupid-ass commercial.
This podcast is intended for mature audiences only. If you are not 18 years of age or older, there are thousands of other podcasts you can listen to, and you can come back and visit us when you are 18. This podcast is meant solely for entertainment. We are not licensed doctors, lawyers, or therapists. We simply have a fascination with the lifestyle and a love to share it with you and get your thoughts and opinions.
Hey everyone, join me on my journey from living a 100% vanilla life to tiptoeing into a whole new world I never knew existed, exploring a life that puts a whole new spin on sex and its meaning to me, from chastity devices and cuckolding to my experiences and the lifestyle. I have met some amazing people and had some crazy experiences and learned a lot about myself along the way. Welcome to Christine's FLR Podcast.
I want to talk about a little thing that I found, and it's called Planetary Design, who I am also an affiliate with. Now, I know that's off track of my normal naughty affiliates, but what better than to wake up with some coffee in the morning and listen to, Christine's FLR Podcast? The whole idea behind it was created on a backpacking trip in 1992, and the desire to want good coffee while in the wilderness camping. And if you're new here or missed the episode where I talked about the fact that my subby and I are actually going to go full time. So I'm looking for companies that align with our goals in that part of our life. And I came across Planetary Design. They have fantastic products that are very durable, good for the environment, and align with our goals as far as our future living goals, I guess I could say. You should totally check them out. I will put a link in the show notes. But if you like coffee, they have a fantastic French press. They have travel options. They have cool mugs. I mean, who doesn't like a good mug? So check it out.
Welcome back. Episode 46. We're going to talk about my favorite subject today. Communication. I always talk about how communication is key. So today I have an article we are going to look at, and I'm going to give my opinion. But first, let's address some housekeeping. Kind of flying by the seat of my pants. We have been on vacation kind of like almost 2 weeks. So as you heard in last week's, we were on the Youper, and then we came home for like 3 days and then went to Iowa for a week or just under a week, and then back to camp this weekend. So we haven't really been home a lot. I haven't really had time to do much of anything because it seems like everywhere we go, we don't have internet, which is going to need to be resolved for when we live in our camper. Excuse me. But
one
vacation was good. It really sucks trying to get back into the swing of things when you get home, but here we are. That's kind of a housekeeping issue. So we were on vacation and our bank account was compromised. So that was fun. Tried to deal with that on vacation. It's a whole bunch of fuckery. Not sure what the fuck. But anyway, dealing with that. Haven't really been present on social media much at all. Mainly because of an internet connection. And two, I had my kid with us. Both in the Uper and in Iowa. So it was hard for me to be able to log in and do social media things, but hopefully this week we will be back on track and things will settle down from our multiple vacations in a short time or two. Anyway, let's talk about communication. Okay, so this article is from, it looks like Psych Central. The title of it is 9 Steps to Better Communication Today. As usual, we will put, my subby will put a link in the show notes in his spare time, which is non-existent. Anyway, I don't know what's up with my throat, too much chocolate, whatever. Let's take a drink of water before we start this. Kind of miss vaping while I'm doing this podcast. Okay. So again, this is from Psych Central and it's 9 steps to better communication today. Relationships don't exist in a vacuum. They exist between two emotional human beings who bring their own past experiences, history, and expectations to it. Two people also have different levels of skill when it comes to communication, but better communication, because it is a skill, can also be learned. The most popular myth about communication in relationships is that since you talk to your partner, you're automatically communicating. While talking to your partner is indeed a form of communication, if it's primarily about everyday surfacey topics, how were the kids, how was work, how's your mother, you're not really communicating about the important stuff. So this article is primarily about how to talk more open and in a more open and rewarding manner. Ooh, it's going to be that type of episode. Buckle up, Stutter Central. This article is primarily about how to talk in a more open and rewarding manner with your significant other. I think I've talked about this on past episodes too, that which we've kind of fallen out of the habit now, but we used to take like 5 minutes when my subby got home from work to just kind of talk. I mean, minimum 5 minutes, 20 would be good, but I mean, just where we, and it was maybe surfacey stuff like how was your day, things like that, but it was also just a time for us to one-on-one connect and hey, what do we need to do? What needs to get done? How is work? What, you know, what's stressing you out? Just a time for us to connect. Okay, back to the article. Communication either makes or breaks most relationships. You can improve your relationship today, right now, by putting into practice some of these tips for improving communication in your relationship. And number one, I am very guilty of not doing this. Stop and listen. How many times have you heard someone say this or read it in an article about communication skills? How hard is it to actually do when you're in the moment? Harder than it sounds. When we're knee-deep in a serious discussion or argument with our significant other, it's hard to put aside our point for the moment and just listen. We're often so afraid of not being heard, we rush to keep talking. Ironically, such behavior makes it all the more likely that we won't be heard. I am very guilty of this. Not that my subby and I ever really argue much, but it has happened in the past. I mean, it's been I can't remember the last argument we had, but I would suspect that it was, there's that word, we're going to do a tally of how many times I say suspect or I suspect. Apparently, it's a word I use frequently. I think, though, that the last argument that we had probably had something to do with our kids. Having a blended family is a real fucker. It has its rewards, too, but when you are in the early stages of it, which is probably the last time we had an argument, was in the early stages of our relationship or earlier stages of our relationship. And I suspect it was probably about one of our children. I am very aware of the fact that when we do argue, he will say one thing that he maybe doesn't mean, and I hyper-focus on that and beat it to death in that argument. And I really try not to. I don't know. It's real hard for me to listen in an argument, too, because I have much to say, and of course I feel like I'm always right. Not always the case. So stop and listen. Number two is force yourself to hear. You've stopped talking for the moment, but your head is still swirling with all of the things you want to say. So you're still not really hearing what is being said. Laugh all you want, but therapists have a technique that works very well that forces them to really hear what a client tells them, rephrasing what a person has just said to them. It's called reflection. See, I kind of already addressed that in my last comment. I have so much going on in my head that sometimes, even when we're not arguing, just in general, he will say, and we're both guilty of this, both of us. He'll say that he told me something and I do not remember him telling me. However, if you tell me something while I'm doing something else, chances are my ears are not working as they should. Same with him. What do you mean? You never told me about that. Sure fucking did. It does say this may upset your partner if you do it too much, or you do it in a tone that suggests you're mocking rather than trying to seriously listen. So use the technique sparingly and let your partner know why you're doing it if they ask. Sometimes I don't think I'm getting what you're telling me, and doing this lets me slow my mind down a bit and really try and hear what you're saying. I think this is a good point. We learned this in school when I was going to school for HR. It talks about how you don't have to rephrase everything that they said, but pull maybe some key points out when you're talking or responding or whatever. And sometimes that can just be validating their feelings or just kind of validating what they said and showing them that you heard what they said. I think it's important to validate feelings or really know that you are hearing what your partner has to say if you're talking about lifestyle things, because if something happens and you've had a discussion and you maybe forgot, I don't know. The lifestyle can be tricky and it can absolutely cause a huge divide between the two of you. Like, communication is so important, and understanding and validating your partner's feelings, whatever they may be. Okay. Ooh, this is a good one too. Number three, be open and honest with your partner. Some people have never been very open to others in their life. Heck, some people might not even know themselves or know much about their own real needs and desires. But to be in a relationship is to take a step toward opening up your life and opening up yourself. Little lies turn into big lies. Hiding your emotions behind a cloak of invincibility might work for you, but won't work for most others. Pretending everything is all right isn't all right, and giving your partner the silent treatment is about as useful as a fish with a bicycle. In the desert at night, these things may have worked for you in the past, but they are all barriers to good communication. Being open means talking about things you may have never talked about with another human being before in your life. It means being vulnerable and honest with your partner, completely and unabashedly. I think that's how you say that word. It means opening yourself up to possible hurt and disappointment, but it also means opening yourself up to the full potential of all a relationship can be. I have never in my life been more open and honest with anyone than my subby. And maybe, I don't know, there may have been a couple friends that probably, I mean, I have a couple friends that know a lot about me, but my subby also knows those things as well. I felt very relaxed with him from the get-go, and being open and honest with him about things that I would normally be embarrassed about talking about, like sex or things that turn me on, I never felt embarrassed to tell him those things. And I learned a lot about myself in the conversations that the two of us had about sex or different kinks or things like that. Things that maybe have always turned me on, and he pointed out and said, do you think maybe this is something you really enjoy? I never thought about it that way. He has really shaped who I am just by us having open and honest communication about things. I think if you can't be completely open and honest, now, all that being said, I understand the damage that years and years of a relationship, or even just a few months of a relationship with somebody who laughed at you for things or made fun of you for things that you maybe enjoyed, or maybe it was just about your appearance or anything like that. I understand to my core the damage that that causes. And I really think having somebody in your corner that truly unconditionally listens to you and allows you to tell them your deepest, darkest secrets is one of the most solid parts of having a healthy relationship and solid foundation to your relationship. I don't know that there's anything in this world that I would lie to my subby about at all. Like, there's nothing that I would hide from him. There's nothing I'm ashamed to tell him. I just think that everybody should have that one person. It, maybe it doesn't have to be your partner, but I'm real glad mine is. Anyway, I say that a lot too. Anyway. Okay, number four, pay attention to nonverbal signs. Ooh, I am not an observant person. This should be interesting. Most of our communication with one another in any friendship or relationship isn't what we say, but how we say it. Nonverbal communication is your body language, the tone of your voice, its inflection, eye contact, how far away you are when you talk to someone else. Learning to communicate better means that you need to learn how to read these signals as well as hear what the other person is saying. Reading your partner's nonverbal skills takes time and patience, but the more you do it, the more attuned you will be to what they are really saying, such as folded arms in front of the person may mean they're feeling defensive or closed off. Lack of eye contact. Okay, first of all, folded arms. I stand like that a lot, or I sit like that a lot just because it's comfortable. I rest them right under my boobs. It's real comfortable. And I think I stand like that a lot too. But I don't think I feel defensive or closed off when I do it. Self-evaluation time. Lack of eye contact may mean that they're not really interested in what you're saying, are ashamed of something, or find it difficult to talk about something. I think I'm socially awkward. Sometimes it's hard for me to make eye contact because I don't want people to think I'm creepy. Maybe I need to be better at not lacking eye contact. I'm going to start staring people right in their pupils. Louder, more aggressive tone may mean the person is escalating the discussion and is becoming very emotionally involved. It might also suggest they feel like they're not being heard or understood. I'm a real loud person too, I think. I think I talk real loud. I'm not a very good communicator. Always have my arms folded. Don't generally make eye contact. I'm real loud. I don't know if I'm aggressive, but I'm loud. Someone who's turned away from you when talking to you let's try this again. Ooh, sorry about that, subby. Someone who's turned away from you when talking to you may mean disinterest or being closed off. I don't think I do that. But I am fucking loud, lack eye contact, and fold arms. I don't know how much of this I believe because I'm generally interested in a lot of what people have to say. If I'm talking to someone, I'm usually pretty engaged in the conversation, but I don't know if I'm going to have to be more observant about how I communicate. I don't know. Now I'm trying to think if my subby makes eye contact. It seems like sometimes when we're talking, we're both looking at our tablets or computers or phones. Sometimes I do get real bitchy about that, though. If he's looking at his phone and I'm talking to him, I'll stop talking to him until he's done looking at his phone. While he's probably more than capable of listening to what I have to say, I feel like if I wait until he's done doing what he's doing on his phone, he will retain what I'm telling him. Though it's probably not anything life or death. Sometimes I feel like the information sticks better if he's not looking at his phone. All the while you're reading your partner's nonverbal signals, be aware of your own. Make and maintain eye contact. That's real hard for me. Keep a neutral body stance. Also real hard for me. And the tone of your voice, and sit next to the person when you're talking to them. I can sit next to a person when they're talking to me, but sometimes I don't want people in my bubble. Back up. Stay out of my bubble. Tone of my voice. I think the tone of my voice is pretty accurate. I think that my tone changes with whatever my brain is feeling, so it might be pretty accurate. Number 5, stay focused in the here and now. Sometimes discussions turn into arguments that can morph into a discussion about everything and the kitchen sink. To be respectful of one another and the relationship, you should try and keep the discussion or argument focused on the topic at hand. While it's easy to get in the cheap shots or bring up everything that an argument seems to call for, just don't. If the argument is about who's making dinner tonight, keep it to that topic. Don't veer off down the country road of who does what in the house, who's responsible for child rearing, and by the way, who cleans the kitchen sink. I think my subby is probably the only partner that I can honestly say I don't do this to. If we are arguing, again, we don't do that very often, but we are both very conscious of the fact that we do not bring up past things, whether it is past people, past actions, past arguments, past mistakes that we have hopefully learned from and moved on. Arguments that do veer off tend to escalate and grow larger and larger. One party needs to make an effort at that point to try and de-escalate the argument, even if it means walking away from it, literally. But do so as respectfully as possible, saying something like, "Look, I can see this isn't going to get any better by discussing it tonight. Let's sleep on it and try and talk about it with fresh eyes in the morning, okay?" Ooh, I sleep like shit if we do that. I think that's only happened a couple times in our entire relationship where we just have to go to bed and sleep it off. But I sleep like shit. And generally, I wake up bitchy in the morning, which lately I've just been waking up bitchy in the morning. Never really been much of a morning person, but lately I've been a real cunt in the morning and I don't know why. Maybe I'm not sleeping well or he's doing something naughty in my dreams. Hard to say. Not good naughty. So I agree with this one 100%. Try to really not bring up things in the past. If something that your partner did to you in the past still really bothers you, you have to sit with that and figure out why it still bothers you and maybe sit down in a calm manner or a calm fashion and discuss it with your partner, or figure out how you can heal yourself and let that fucking go and move on. It's not easy. It's really not easy. I also can feel that one to my core. It is real hard to let go of things that really hurt in the past. But if you're still with that person that did something hurtful to you, you got to figure out how to let it go. It can't keep coming up in arguments. It is not healthy, and eventually it will ruin your relationship. Number six, try to minimize emotion when talking about important big decisions. Nobody can talk about important big matters if they feel emotional a bit. Ooh, I do not know what's up my mouth. Maybe I need to put a wiener in it. Big matters if they feel emotionally vulnerable or charged up and angry. Those are not times to talk about the serious issues like money, getting married, the kids, or retirement. You might think it impossible or even contradictory to talk about an emotional topic like getting married or having children without emotion. And yet these discussions need to keep a foothold of rationality to them in order to not gloss over the realities that they bring. Marriage, for instance, brings the combining of households and living with another person day to day. Having kids isn't just about cute toddler clothes and painting a nursery, but talking about who's going to change diapers, feed the newborn, and be available at all hours of the day and night for months on end. I don't know that there was ever a whole bunch of emotion in us deciding to move in together. I should have had those discussions in past relationships for fucking sure. But I think that's a good one. Seven, be ready to seed an argument. How many times do we continue to argue or have a heated discussion because we simply want to be right? Ooh, there is that. I've talked about this sense of needing to win arguments more than once. Why? Because so many of couples' arguments revolve around one party thinking they are right and the other party not willing to concede to the point or back off. In fact, though, both parties need to back off. By doing this, are you giving up a piece of yourself by compromising and not insisting on how right you are? Well, that's sometimes the only thing you can decide. Would you rather be in a happy relationship where you respect the other person, even if you may occasionally disagree with them? Or would you rather be in an unhappy relationship where you know you're always right, no matter what? It just comes down to your priorities. If being right is more important to you than your partner's happiness, then perhaps you have not found the right partner. I sure do like to be right. However, I'm pretty good about admitting when I'm wrong, as is my subby. And most of the time, I don't know if this is really an issue for us. In the past, there were times, not with my subby, but in past relationships, there were times I fucking knew I was right. Fucking knew I was right. And I could have proved I was right. But listen, you gotta choose your battles. I didn't have the energy for the argument that was going to ensue from proving that motherfucker was wrong. Might have a little aggression about it yet. Number eight, humor and playfulness usually help. You don't have to be funny in order to use humor and playfulness in everyday conversations. You just need to use the sense of humor you do have and try to and try to inject it into more of your communications with your partner. Humor helps lighten everyday frustrations and helps put things into perspective more gently than other methods. Playfulness reminds us that even as adults, we all have a side to us that enjoys fun and taking a break from the seriousness of work and other demands made on us. First thing that comes to mind when I read this is my subby and I have this little game that we play. It's real fun. Makes everything kind of dirty. But if one of us says something that even remotely sounds dirty, we'll use the word often or never. It's a fun game we play in front of the kids. Most of the time, they don't catch on. Our kids are older. I mean, obviously, my 11-year-old doesn't catch on. But for instance, I don't know, like if I'm doing something, I'm like, gosh, this is really hard to get off. My husband will say never or rarely, often or rarely. You know, he'll make a comment of rarely or often as in relation to our sex life or just dirtiness in general. It's a fun way we kind of make each other giggle and it's kind of our own fun little game. 9, communicating is more than just talking. To communicate better and more effectively in your relationship, you don't have to talk. You can communicate in other ways, through your actions, and nowadays electronically too, through email, Facebook, blogs, texting, or Twitter. All too often, couples focus on the talking aspect of their relationship, but your actions also speak loudly. Keeping in touch throughout the day or week through email or other electronic means also reminds the person you're thinking about them and how important they are in your life, even if such communications are mainly playful or inconsequential. They can help lighten your partner's day and improve their mood. Some couples also find that using email or another method is easier to discuss emotional issues rather than trying to do so face to face. It's something to consider if every time you try to bring up a particular topic with your significant other, it turns into an argument or they shy away from it. Email or texting may be a way of communicating about such matters more openly and directly. Okay, I'm terrible at this because I think this is a great way to communicate about things that you're maybe not comfortable talking to your partner about face to face. Because in the beginning, things that maybe were brought up, I think some of it was brought up via phone or text because it was very new and my reaction wasn't, I don't know, not my reaction wasn't bad, but he didn't know what my reaction was going to be like and he felt more confident in what he had to say because he can be kind of a keyboard warrior, my subby. So doing email or texting is great. My biggest dislike of either is I don't know if I have like emotional dyslexia. I have emotional dyslexia or dyslexia. I think that I interpret things not the way they're intended, or I say things and they're interpreted not the way they were intended. That's why I feel a face-to-face conversation for me personally is so much better because I think things go from my eyes to my brain the first time I read it one way and then I go back and I read it again and it comes back a completely different way. I think I do much better with verbal communication rather than written, but I don't know. I mean, we had some pretty in-depth conversations in the very early stages of our relationship because we were 2 hours away from each other. So all of what I just said is one thing, but I did do this for quite some time. I much prefer now to do it face-to-face, but we've still had some pretty good conversations. My subby is very good at discerning my mood. Or I don't know if I use that right because, you know, big words on a Sunday night is not a good thing for me after vacation for a week. But he's very good at making sure I understand exactly how he's bringing his point across. And at the point we're at now, I know him well enough to know his moods or how he is approaching a situation or how he's talking to me, I can interpret that through the text, or I know that, you know, something might come off as being dickheadish, but it's not, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I would be leery, or not leery, I would just be cautious with emails and text messages about important conversations when it comes to lifestyle things or your feelings. It might be easier to talk about your feelings through a text. Just make sure it's coming across right, maybe. Nobody is a perfect communicator all the time, but you can work to become a better communicator by trying a few of these tips. They won't all work, nor will they all work all the time. Better communication, however, starts with one person making the effort to improve, which often encourages the other to come along for the ride. So to kind of wrap this up, I've said this since probably episode one. Communication is key. Just like your lifestyle, everybody communicates differently. Everybody has their own dynamic. If you are in a new relationship with someone and you're not sure of how they communicate, or you feel like you're taking something they're saying wrong, just be open. Like, you know, address it. Hey, you said this and I kind of felt like this is how it kind of made me feel. Was that your intention? Or I think if people could stop, for lack of a better word, pussyfooting around things, I mean, why do we have to feel guilty about expressing how we feel? How come people are embarrassed by their feelings? Like, when did this happen? Has this been around forever? I mean, just say how you feel. Can you imagine all the miscommunications you could get rid of if you would just be like, whoa, that fucking hurt my feelings. Why did you do that? I think sometimes people hurt your feelings and don't even fucking realize they're hurting your feelings. I think open communication, and don't be embarrassed. You are allowed to feel how you fucking feel. Don't ever let anybody make you feel bad because you feel a certain way. And maybe you won't always feel that way. Maybe if you sit down and talk about why you feel this way, you'll realize something that maybe is in you that you can change so you don't feel that way anymore. Self-work is a bitch, but the reward is worth it. Anyway, enough of my rambling for this wonderful Sunday. I hope everybody had a fantastic week. I hope you have a fantastic week coming up. I have no idea. I would really like to have my campground friends on the podcast next week. They were supposed to be on this week, but we did not have all the supplies to make that happen. I would really like it to happen next week. So that is my goal, to have them on. And I think you guys will all love them. They're fantastic people, as I keep saying. Be good human beings. Have a fantastic week. And I can't wait to talk to you next week. Take care. Love you all. Mwah.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please, if you enjoyed this episode, leave a rating and review on whatever podcast app that you listen on. I would really appreciate it. And please share a link to the podcast on your social media. I really believe that there may be things I talk about that somebody might just want to hear. I'd love to be able to connect with you. So the best place to do that is probably Twitter. You can look for @ Christine Kellogg. Christine, KRYSTINE. Also, I can be reached at ChristineKellogg@gmail.com. If you would like to support this podcast and or explore my FLR coaching or keyholding services, please find me on Patreon @ Christine Kellogg. My beloved army of patrons is slowly growing, and your kindness is very much appreciated. For custom audios, I'm on Fiverr @ Christine Kellogg. I produce custom erotic voiceovers, POV, point of view, JOI, jack-off instructions, as well as erotic hypnosis, ASMR, audiobooks, and custom voicemail messages.
Hit me up on Fiverr and mention that you heard me on the podcast, and I will give you a KFLR listener discount. For pics and videos of me and me torturing my subby's little dick, look me up on OnlyFans at Christine Kellogg. There's a growing amount of content that is free for now, as well as custom request options for my followers there. Let me know that you found me through my podcast, because that would be super cool. Links to all of these are in the show notes. Again, thank you so much. Be good human beings and stay safe. I can't wait till the next episode. Mwah!